Welcome in. Cheers. No puns allowed.
Cheers.
Adam and Paige. College football. We don't have much of it. In fact, we don't have much football, right? Did you have that realization yet? Like, NFL regular season's ending. Everyone's getting fired.
Yeah.
Bowl season ending. Send in the clowns, Paige. It's getting weird out there.
It is getting weird, but it's also still weird that, like, this isn't the week that we're prepping for the national championship. I still feel really weird about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're recording on a Tuesday rather than a Wednesday. Also weird, when I went to go grab a beer, by the way, if you're wondering what beer I'm drinking, I'll just show you. I'll let you say what
that Modelo.
Beer is. It's a Modelo. Delicious Modelo. I was like, sweet, it's Wednesday, beer time. So we're drinking on a Tuesday. No shame in that.
In drinking on a Tuesday. I feel like, I was saying to you, like, I feel like our new year starts when the college football, like, season is over. Like, yes. Everyone always is like, oh, new year's resolutions, all this stuff. So it is weird. You also have a big birthday coming up. So, like, dry January is, like, not in our vocabulary. Dry March every year because it's just the easiest month for me to not drink. But there's no such thing as dry January when you cover college football. Let's just throw that out there right now.
No, especially when we're going to the national championship.
Yeah, it's basically an excuse for everyone who covers college football to get together, have a few drinks, and hang out. So
yeah, I am. We are going to have a full-on preview of that next week. First and foremost, Municipal, friends of the show, friends of the program, friends of you all, municipal.com. Go check out all of the gear. I was perusing Instagram, my algorithm. And just the number of randos that I see now sporting, again, it's kind of the, not just the airport people, or you have that moment, but now in the wild, Municipal. So go check it out. It doesn't matter, the holidays are over. Buy your friends and your people good shit. You don't need a holiday to do that.
And Kramer has a birthday coming up, so if you'd like to.
You know, I don't.
I'm going to keep referencing this birthday. We'll talk about it next week a little bit more in depth.
I guess we record on my actual birthday.
We do. Technically, I was so excited about that. Fuck. We're not changing it. Sorry.
Yeah. Feeling old. I've got some fun random shit for you. You're going to enjoy at the end of the show. But all right, let's talk playoff first. I have some bowl takes.
Right.
But it's been a minute since these playoff games have happened. But I want to talk about these games. Now, locks of the week for me was perfect. Perfect 4-0.
Not to brag.
I did watch the Boise State Penn State game from an indoor water park on my phone. Not ideal. I'm just saying, in terms of content watching, while making sure, like, kids were alive and well and all those different.
Yeah. Do they have t-shirts at this water park that says, like, I survived?
Oh my,
whatever it's called, like, Great Wolf Lodge.
Neighbor Palooza. Yeah. I mean, no, it was good, but that part was hard. And then getting out the next day to make sure we can watch the games, also not the most fun. But I will ask you, so we've got Notre Dame, Georgia, you've got Texas, Arizona State, I know you have takes, you got Ohio State, Oregon, you've got Penn State, Boise. We're not going to, like, lead into all these games for a great deal of time, but where do you want to lead into first?
Let's start with the one that gave me the most emotional reaction to. Was Arizona State, Texas. Now, I am going to give you credit on this podcast. You very much were like, I think if I had to choose a team, and we did a live show as well previewing the show, like, I think if I had to choose a team, like, I think Arizona State can cover, and I think they, like, have a chance to win it.
Yeah.
Which, in the first half of that game, you would have never thought that that would be the case. But they came to life. Texas did very normal Texas things that we're so used to seeing them do. And I was very much on the other side of wanting Arizona State to win that game. I know America was kind of rooting for an upset after we had had these long conversations about, you know, blowouts in the playoff and should these teams get in and blah, blah, blah. I was screaming at my television like I was an actual Texas fan. I was a Texas fan for a whole game. And let me tell you, I don't know how you guys do it because I simply cannot with the level of anxiety that I endured during that game.
So, I wrote locks for this week's games. And so, as doing that, I go through and really kind of dove into the box score. With New Year's, there's not a lot of box score like scrounging around. When you look at this box score, it's pretty amazing, right? You look at Sam Levitt, 24 of 46, 222 yards, an interception. Scatterboo went nuts, fine. Texas ran for 53 yards on 30 carries. Quinn Ewers, like, according to this, had a really good game. 322 yards and 3 touchdowns. This box score is a mess. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think Quinn Ewers played a particularly good game, but the numbers say he did. He had the 4th and 13, which was great, although terrible defense. It's a mess of a game to unpack, to be quite honest.
Also, like, we've talked about this. During the game, I was very upset because I was obviously rooting for Texas. I was really annoyed by how one-dimensional Texas's offense was.
Yes.
And how much they just didn't change anything, played it safe, which is, like, the Sark motto. And it got really annoying. And then we get into overtime, and we see these play calls, and I'm like, why are we not letting Quinn Ewers do this more often? Is it because you're not comfortable and we had no choice? Or is it what are we holding out here for if we could actually convert maybe some of these long third downs, or you know what I mean, or actually make a great play on second down? But again, it was very, very odd to me that offense just seemed to kind of do the basics, and then all of a sudden now it looks like they can be a pretty great offense, pretty elite. And just again, there's been like slights on Quinn Ewers a lot, and I think he showed that he was capable of winning in a last second situation in a big game. But yeah, I haven't seen him do it enough that I don't feel comfortable that he can do that consistently.
By the way, breaking news, as we're doing this podcast, Sam Levitt has signed a new deal with the Sun Devils.
Perfect timing.
How fucked up does that still sound, by the way? Signed a new deal. I get it. I'm hip with whatever it is. it will never be normal to me to see a player signing a new deal.
Whatever it is.
Well, isn't it still weird to you? Like, he signed a new deal with
NIL,
Arizona State.
NIL agents, like, people are going to have to be negotiating with schools now in come July. Like, this is going to be a very messy situation. It does seem very weird. There's also, like, the rumor that the USC quarterback, Mayava, just hired a new NIL agent. And, like, he's not supposed to go in the transfer portal, but, like, maybe he does. Why did we hire an NIL agent? Is it just because he's getting more NIL money because now he's going to be starting quarterback USC? I don't know. But the whole thing is still very weird.
The rumor that Quinn Ewers was offered $6 million or is
to transfer?
Offered, yeah, that's great. If you're going to do that, like, good luck. I don't know. I mean, and back to this game. Arizona State, Scatterboo is like an all-time college player.
That
if
was
you're an Arizona
insane.
State fan.
Also,
like, awesome.
To the man who tried to like own him on Twitter and be like, or X or whatever it's called, and be like, oh, he was out drinking, blah, blah, blah. It's like, first of all, he doesn't drink. And then second of all, like, he's literally at the hotel bar, you could tell, hanging out with his family. Like, dumbest thing of all time, trying to, and he responded to it after. But yeah, I felt sorry for him. I mean, he gave it all. I thought it was really respectful that all the Texas players really made an effort to go over and, you know, shake his hand and, say good game, because that was incredible. And he quite literally put that team on his back and was just trying any last-ditch effort.
I thought Levitt was amazing, too. I know his stats say otherwise. That dude is a monster and tough, elusive as hell.
The other aspect of this is you're playing crazy. SEC versus Big 12. Like, physically, I mean, they did overcome a big athleticism advantage that was to Texas. So, yeah, I mean, overall, incredible game, probably the most exciting game that we had. I think we can say we knew Penn State would win. Bummer that, Ashton Gentry is officially declared for the draft today. Yep. So, very exciting for him. Very excited to see his career at the next level. I don't think that it should take away from the fact that Boise State deserved to be there.
No.
But yeah, all of the teams that got byes lost this week. So again, this last week. So I think that's a testament to, you know, the seeding and stuff will change, the conversation that we've literally talked about so much that I don't want to get into. So yeah, I think we can say anything that you took away from Penn State's performance in that game that you can kind of look at moving forward, or is it just kind of know that was a game you should win?
No, I think they're really good. I thought Boise State was pretty competitive for a while. Again, Penn State, like Texas, felt like they were going to throttle them, and I don't know, 31-14 is pretty convincing, but I thought Boise State hung around. Genty, you know, 30 carries for 104 yards. I don't know if it tells the story when you looked at just the how hard he is to tackle. I'm excited to see where he heads up. You know, this Penn State running game, when it gets going, and then you complement that with a all-world tight end and a quarterback that could be good. I mean, they might be the most second most talented team in the country. I mean, they really might. It's a fascinating game. We'll talk about the most talented team that you and I have been saying that all year. We were wrong like 90% of the time. We'll see if we're wrong. Now is Ohio State. I expected them to win. I expected them to cover. I did not expect that.
That's okay. So what's crazy about it is we said, okay, we expect them to cover. We kind of expect them. I mean, the spread wasn't that large, but I mean, it was a point.
No.
It genuinely, and people were asking why was Ohio State favored, all this stuff. I think people really honed in on the Michigan game and just like forgot everything else that Ohio State could be. And they didn't care what they saw against Tennessee. It didn't matter. But I will say, I think, what a statement performance. I think, you know, the narrative has been, okay, you know, yes, they're good. Yes, they can compete. They should win these games. But to blow out the number one team in the country at the Rose Bowl and to just continue to, I mean, we've talked about this. Ohio State, like Texas is doing what Ohio State used to do, which is let teams hang around, yeah, make it interesting. And I got to say, it was really impressive to see them come out in the second half. And I know Ryan Day wanted that immediate stop, but to just even continue to keep going, even when they didn't, was huge. And I will also say, because I am the Ryan Day truther on this podcast, I loved seeing those videos of Ryan Day in the locker room post or pregame and at halftime, because there's been so much criticism of him and that he's not fiery and that he's not passionate enough and that he doesn't care. And, you know, that image of him standing there when, you know, the Michigan brawl broke out and he was like, what happened, you know, and didn't show this emotion. People have been begging to see this emotion from him. And I think the biggest lesson we can learn is like, you actually don't know the emotion that's going on in the locker room or what he's showing. Sure is now he's probably doing it more so and laying it on thick because, again, this is the criticism of him, but there's no world where I see that Ryan Day doesn't care and doesn't have a big emotions for this team and this program. And I mean, he still wants to be the coach of Ohio State. And essentially, you need to win a national championship for that to continue, despite what their athletic director has said. And I think this was a huge statement to be like, look, welcome to the new guy who's everybody's favorite, and welcome to the number one team who's undefeated. Let's remember who, you know, should be owning college football and could own college football for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'd love to see him win one because I think you'd see him loosen up. That happened to Kirby Smart, by the way. You see Kirby Smart do in-game interviews. I think it's the best in-game interviews of a coach or athlete we have, Kirby. And we'll talk about that. But I'd love to see Ryan Day be able to take a breath and then the success will probably flow freely, quite honestly.
Like what was so funny is, to your point about his halftime speech or his halftime interview on the field, I felt so bad because I could just see he wanted to be really happy and excited, but he just knew that there was just no possibility that he could be. So he was like kind of like just keeping a very straight face and being like, we got to come out. We got to get to stop thinking the ball in the second half. You know, it was just so funny to watch because he is like pretty good about answering those questions. He's usually very polite in them. But in this one, you could tell the anxiety of like, okay, we're doing this, but we got to keep going and we can't let our like shit the bed here. Was pretty impressive to kind of watch that and hilarious to see in real time. So I am very happy for him.
My other takeaway, you know, for as much love as Jeremiah Smith is getting, and it's deserved, Will Howard made some crazy fucking throws. Like, Will Howard is, I know it's draft season, I'm not ready to do that, but that, man, the dude has probably made himself some money.
Yeah.
And certainly, what a rebound to a team that you lost against and looked woeful in the final seconds to then complete 17 passes for 319 yards. It's one of the best games we've seen a quarterback play this year. He's good. Like, he is good. That throw he had to Mbuge, it was amazing. So, I don't know. And for Oregon, like, unfortunately now we talk about Ohio State narrative, now it becomes the Oregon narrative, right? This happened again. You were really good, and then you got there and kaput. Like,
well, this and it is also wasn't like they didn't play anyone all season, but like, because again, we talked about like the conference schedules and all of those things. They did have a decently, quote, tough conference schedule, if you will. I think it'll definitely get harder as, you know, they get more into the Big Ten and some of the major programs start to like revitalize themselves again. But yeah, a tough look for them to kind of have that be a blowout, especially being the number one team and having won. But again, it just shows you that like anyone can beat any team on any given day. And like Dan Lanning said, you know, it was their day against us today. It wasn't their day against Michigan. Which, by the way, he was asked basically a question with that lead up of like, oh, like it wasn't their day versus, you know, Michigan. Was it not your day versus, you know, Ohio State? And so when that was clipped, I thought that Lanning was just like, trying to go for the jugular. Dan did not take losing well. But no, he was, in fact, baited into that clip. So I will say that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to what comes next. I guess the last game we need to discuss is Notre Dame, Georgia. Obviously moved back a day because of a horrible tragedy to start the year. And then again, another sad sort of thing surrounding it is Kirby Smart's father passed away.
Awful.
I know. Awful. He took a fall, I guess, in New Orleans and had complications in surgery. So very sad, kind of.
Awful. No, it's
yeah, just not good.
Well, yeah, no, the situation was terrible. But they played a football game.
Yes.
And, you know, we talked about Arizona State and Texas being a little complicated. This was a bizarre game. And what was very interesting to me, you had 90 seconds of game, the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half, where Georgia fumbled, Notre Dame scores, they return the kickoff, and that's the game. I thought Gunnar Stockton played pretty good, all things considered. I thought he showcased some really good things. If you're a Georgia fan and you're evaluating it, like, hey, you got to feel pretty decent about this kid moving forward. He throws a good ball.
Yeah.
His receivers drop balls. Like, his line didn't play well. Like, and Notre Dame's really good. But I thought he only scored 10 points, right? But I don't necessarily put all that on him. And then there's this Notre Dame mojo, right? Where you win in special teams, you win defensively. And then on offense, your quarterback throws for 90 yards, 15 completions for 90 yards. You only ran for 154 yards, right?
Yeah.
This is where I struggle. Like, this is where I struggle. 244 yards of offense for Notre Dame. And they had a lot of things go their way with a kick return. And you know where I'm going with this. Like, hey, they deserve credit. That is they've got it. The juju right now, maybe even more so than Ohio State, feels like it's in Notre Dame's corner. And Marcus Freeman's got it. So much to like. But are you concerned? Like, has that resonated with you? Or was the completeness of the win, like, good enough?
So what's funny is I think about this in terms of, like, narratives with coaches. And, like, Marcus Freeman obviously has some blemishes on his resume. But they won a game against Georgia. And I think that's probably just like, yes, it's not the Georgia of most recent years. That's fair to say. But again, this is a really good SEC team. That it's an impressive win. You obviously, the knock on Notre Dame is always that they are not in a conference. Who do they play? They're overrated, all these things. To me, no matter what, I feel like this was a huge statement for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. I think he sort of gets to coach freely now because they won that game. Outside of Notre Dame fans, everyone's waiting for them to not win again. You know what I mean? Everyone's waiting for them to go, okay, that was it. Good job, Notre Dame. You did your part. And, you know, we won't call you overrated, but if you lose next, we're not going to be surprised. Where I do think, you know, there are a little bit of those vibes in the sense of like, good job, you won that, but the road ahead is going to be tough. But I think, and that's a perfect transition into, I mean, Notre Dame and Penn State being the exact same team. Like, this is each of these teams, whoever wins, it's going to be like, you won a game that is a big game, and this is finally the one. And I more so for Penn State, like, James Franklin needs this. He needs this for people to just wipe away the narrative of him not being able to win big games. I think Marcus Freeman got that pass with the last game that they just played.
All right. So this spread was it's bounced around. I think Notre Dame opened as a slight favorite, got up to 2.5 point favorite for Notre Dame. That's a little surprising. Now it's back down to 1.5. The total, it keeps falling, 44.5. So this is definitely the most likable Notre Dame team of my lifetime, I think. This, like you mentioned, though, I think people are very, if and when they lose, they'll be an easy team that like people like to discard, but they are very likable. So they are very similar, and yet offensively, Penn State, I think, is on another stratosphere.
Yeah.
If they play their game.
Yeah.
They've got better running backs, although, you know, Notre Dame has got some good ones. They've got better skill players, and they have the better quarterback. Now, Riley Leonard, though, is an enormous pain in the ass, and I mean that as a compliment. The guy is tough. He can run really well. I have to imagine Penn State's going to be ready for that. And, oh, by the way, Penn State's best player, who happens to play on defense, is kind of a iffy part for this game, right? Carter, I haven't heard anything legitimate on him. That's a huge concern for me. I mean, that's the best player in this game. Maybe one of the best, not maybe, one of the best players left in this tournament, and we have no idea if he's going to play or not. I'll do some digging on that as we talk.
This is such a hard game to pick for me. I think I'm going to go with Notre Dame, but if Drew Aller, because he can depend on their run game too, so it's like, who stops the run better is who's going to, because Drew Aller can also run as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's legit whoever can stop the run game and limit scrambles by each of these quarterbacks wins the game.
I thought that.
Also, probably a low-scoring game.
Well, you know, that I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of like the. So here's the thing:
these two
really good defenses.
Yes,
but both have played high scoring games recently. Penn State beat Minnesota 26-25. If you remember that was on the road. They played that crazy game with Oregon 45-37. Notre Dame had that weird game with USC, where they had pick sixes and USC had some success. Actually, USC, I thought, really did a good job. I kind of think there'll be more points.
USC
than
Penn State was a sweat.
It was a sweat too. Yeah. So
that was a low scoring game, I think. Though I think the overhit, it was definitely in the second half.
The defenses definitely are elite. I mean, statistically speaking, I think they're what, both top five in terms of overall. Let's see, scoring defense. Notre Dame 2 and Penn State is 7 in terms of scoring. But I think Penn State's more dynamic. I do. I think Penn State is more. Drew Aller, to me, I mean, the quarterbacks are such. It's going to be interesting because Drew Aller can throw, but sometimes it gets a little lee. And the problem with Leonard, though, is like, can he duplicate that success? They got contributions from everybody last game against Georgia. And it was still a really tight game. So they need contributions from everybody to get it. Well, the betting, it's, here's the other thing I struggle with. Notre Dame is a polarizing team to bet on or against. It's like the Cowboys in the NFL. They draw interest. They draw whatever. I don't know who is betting what on this game. But it is interesting to me because
what are you betting on this game? That's what
I'm betting Penn State.
Okay.
I'm betting Penn State.
I'll take
State.
Notre Dame just for content purposes. But
I'm betting the over, too,
I just
by
think
the way.
In seeing what we've seen and how challenged they've been in the playoff versus what Fuzzy's flying in front of me. Fuzzy's versus what Penn State has seen, I would think Notre Dame might have the nod here. And like you said, I think the momentum is with them as well. I think like they're playing at their best right now, and that's like that's the key.
That it's a you know, it's funny. We said it for Arizona State. It's a hard thing to handicap. Is that?
Yeah.
And it worked. And yeah. So that's scary. But all right, so we're splitting on this one. We're going
separate ways.
Our separate ways, which is fine. Not the first time, certainly not the last. All right. This fucking game. Ohio State, Texas. They're playing in Dallas. They're supposed to get not 15 inches of snow anymore, but 6 to 8 inches of snow.
Which is hilarious.
Which, by the way, it could make for a huge disaster.
I'm hoping that everyone's electricity stays on, all things are well, and everything is good in the state of Texas.
Me too. And I hope everybody can get in and out cleanly. It's 11 degrees outside. We have snow on the ground. I almost fell on my ass when I'm driving.
Tell you that.
It's terrible.
You almost fell in the snow.
Oh yeah, it was bad. It's bad. It's in front of my daughter. Not the first time, not the last.
Line still 6?
The line now, it's back to 6. So it dipped to 5.5. Ohio State is back up to 6. The total, 53.5. So, probably more points expected. Now, all right. I'm trying to view this with a clear mindset. You and I were bullish on Ohio State. We've been bullish on Ohio State the last couple of games, and we've looked very smart doing that. I want to make sure that I'm not doing that again, because I think the public is going to be all over Ohio State in this game when you look at how they have played and you look at how Texas, by the way, Steve Sarkisian trying to talk to his kicker on camera.
Don't just.
It's a great move.
Worst. It was so bad. And then he misses it.
Burt Auburn.
Buddy,
yeah, that's
somebody,
by the way, that's a
somebody
that's
teach
a factor.
Sark how to give pep talks.
Burt Auburn is probably not feeling so hot heading into this game. We've been bullish and we've been doing well. Is there anything inside of you that says I need to slow down?
Nope, not at all. There's not Why? One ounce of me that thinks that this I to take Ohio State, I'll take them to cover. I think this is the way that they're playing right now is how one they should have played all season, but you know what? They're turning it on in the college football playoffs, so why not? I think Texas is going to struggle. I think, again, they have not had really dominant performances. I think, obviously, maybe the first round you could say yes, but I think this is a situation where you're playing against Ohio State, and the two times before this when you were given an opportunity to really play against a quality opponent, when Georgia did have Carson Beck, they still lost. So for me, I think Ohio State easily covers, and I think this is Ohio State moves into the national championship and continues riding this high. And we can get old takes exposed next week if I'm wrong about this, but I feel really, really confident in Ohio State.
So I'm going to be betting Ohio State.
Okay.
I have some hesitation, though. I think we react in single game vacuums. Texas defensively is really, really good. Really good. They've got some really good players. Scadaboo, and Sark is brilliant, although he did some really dumb shit in the last game, I thought, overall.
In just last that, game, or maybe the SEC championship? We've
well,
seen
that's
all year long.
That's fair. I
just think this is a game where Texas has basically been like, hey, we'll fuck around and we haven't found out yet. Ohio State is not a team you fuck around on, and because you will find out. And I think that's a situation that they're going to be in, is like you cannot play it safe. You cannot. I mean, the biggest thing for Texas is jumping out to any lead they possibly can.
That's I was just going
to
say that.
That is literally the game is going to be won based on how you jump out. You let Ohio State get ahead of you, no chance that Texas has the opportunity to come back. It just won't happen.
I was just thinking that. Like, if I'm Texas, I want the ball. Because this Ohio State defense is really good. The defensive line has found another gear. I still think this secondary can be had if you could get time. Yours another one, though. Like, are you shocked we're not getting more arch plays? I'm kind of baffled by this. Like, I don't understand.
I'm annoyed by it. I'm annoyed. The whole Texas offense annoyed me the last time. And it's just watching the games that I have where they've been in close games and when, you know, or they've had a lead and they just have kind of, like, just gone into, like, cruise control. It's, like, it's so frustrating to me watching them. And I think, again, when you operated like that all season long, you're not going to get in a situation in a big game against, and I mean, look, it's basically a home game for them, so maybe that helps out, but I genuinely think that I haven't seen it consistently enough to be like, oh, okay, I think Texas is going to put up a fight. It's not that they don't have the players and that they can't.
Sorry. I think Texas will put up a fight.
Okay.
I think Ohio State covers. They probably win by 10 points. Okay. But I agree with you. If Texas can score first, like, Ohio State is just rolling right now.
Do not give them any more momentum. Try and cut off the momentum. Man.
The other thing, it's just a fascinating schematic. So Jeremiah Smith is just running freely, and Ohio State was using him in motion. Thought it Chip Kelly had, like, that was a Chip Kelly game, right?
What are we doing? That was like old school Oregon Chip Kelly versus Oregon. That was like, this is amazing. This is so great.
Chip versus Sark is like, that's the good shit, okay? And Ryan Day involved too, right? Like, those three, you have, like, a lot of seasoned offensive X's and O's. But I'm with you. Like, we are in a position now, our pick, we did not look very smart a couple of weeks ago. Right now, our team will, let's see, Ohio State, -130 to win the title.
Right.
Okay. I will say another interesting part of this Texas thing is that Shefty said that a lot of NFL teams are going to be calling Sark. Now, I messaged you while we were watching the game versus ASU, and I said, it really baffles me. And I know he's been at Texas less time, so that makes sense between, like, a James Franklin and a Ryan Day who've been there longer. But, like, the criticism of Sark has been pretty mild compared to what other coaches at Texas have endured. And I get that the first 2 years of his, I mean, tenure were not great. The last 2 years, he's been incredible. Texas has been good. But again, they haven't been winning, you know, a national championship. So is this a situation where no matter what Sark does, so if he wins a national championship, then you know what? Haters be damned. He doesn't need them, doesn't need the criticism. He did his thing, gets there. But if he doesn't, does this become a narrative of like, look, this will start to get a lot tougher for you at Texas and you'll be coaching for your job every week? So why not leave to go to the NFL while the like strike while the iron's hot? Or I think that, I don't know, I just feel like there's more maybe on the line for Sark here than. I don't think if he wins a national championship, I don't think he wants to go back to Texas. But then if you win a national championship at Texas, you can leave and leave on a high and say you were successful. Either way, does he leave for the NFL is what I'm getting at.
I think he's got this thing cooking. Is the pressure not the same? The pressure is not the same because Texas, unlike Ohio State, was irrelevant for a really long period of time. And the work he did to get them back last year. Let's go back. I picked them to make the playoff last year, right? And this is not a pat on the back. It's a little pat on the back. But that was widely like, ew, really? You think? Now it's the expectation. And the fact that they were back first year in the SEC, he's going to get a grace period.
I'm not even saying the criticism now. I'm just wondering why there wasn't as much criticism the first 2 years of him being there. Because they weren't good and they weren't making the playoffs. So it was like, why are we not having the same conversations about like, okay, he's been here a decent amount of time to be like, oh, okay, well, we could say that he hasn't won a national championship. And Texas, the standard is still really high at Texas. It's not to win SEC championships only. It's to win national championships.
So, like, Ohio State, it's in this old vacuum of insanity. Yeah. Like, you go back to, like, Georgia. Kirby turned them around. They won. They didn't win a national championship. And then, before they won, it was like, uh-oh. You've had, what, 3-4 recruiting classes now? You're not winning. What the fuck? I'll say this. Texas doesn't win this year. That team next year is going to be loaded. They are loaded. Defensively, a lot of these guys are freshmen or sophomores. I know this is not what we're doing. They're probably number one, going to be number one or number two next year in terms of like how they'll enter, assuming we think Arch is good.
You don't think that Sark will leave?
I think next year, though, to your point, if they don't win everything, then the pressure starts. But I think he knows he's got a couple of runs at this. Now, that being said, who knows what this guy is thinking? I get why NFL teams would covet him, by the way. And I say this because this is how we operate. The evaluation for him for NFL teams, I'm sure, has started. There's a lot to unpack. He has had a complicated path to redemption. Yeah. Every time I hear him, other than when a guy's trying to touch him to tell him not to go on the field, he seems like he's in a really good headspace, which is great. He does. I like listening to him talk. He's reflective and he's brilliant. So if you're an NFL team, and if you're Sark, by the way, and you have an offer to coach the Raiders, I don't know, follow the Kiffin path, and you're going to get paid a shit ton of money. And oh, by the way, you don't have to recruit anymore or deal with NIL, still feel like you're going to be considering it. Your job's going to get easier. The pressure's not. I don't know. Next year's huge. It's almost going to be Ohio State-ish in terms of pressure on Texas next year. That's how I feel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Does he dip and not have to worry about that? Mm-hmm. If he wins a national championship, I think you go.
But who the hell would Texas hire other than Sark? Now, that's the other thing we're learning in these coaching cycles. Mac Brown? Sorry, Mac. Love Mac. I feel like that was a stray for old Mac.
That was.
No, but I agree with you that I'm watching this game, and you and I, and you're right, SEC championship, like, it's not been good, and it's not just offense.
That's my frustration.
Grabbing your kicker,
at least in certain situations, like, I'll say maybe this year, in terms of situations with Ryan Day, I haven't been like, oh, they lost because of coaching. I think, yes, the play calling on offense, questionable, but again, you've got Chip in charge. The whole knock on Ryan Day was like, let him be a manager, let your coordinators do the thing with your $20 million roster or whatever. But for me, watching Sark, I'm like, you are literally putting your team in a position to lose these games because you are not continuing to score points. Like, that to me just blows my mind that they are fully capable of doing that. They get up and then they just go into cruise control, and I don't understand it.
I thought, by the way, the topic of coaching, Kirby, I thought, had an awful, awful game. I know, just in terms of decisions. I do want to really highlight again, though. I love listening to him talk during football games. He could be pissed off. He's like brutally honest. He's like open in a way we've not hearing coaches. You interview Saban or Sark, it's like, well, you know, we got to do this. Yeah, Kirby's like, we're not running the football at all. Like you hear him like it's like talking to your friend on the couch. It's like very
well, because he can be that way. He's won two national championships. It is just like
very comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah, he gets
to
do what he wants. It is his world. We're just living in it. You know what I mean? He has a down year. They still make the college football playoff. They still make a good run without their starting quarterback. I mean, it's what it is.
So, all right. So you like Notre Dame.
Yes.
I like Penn State. We both like Ohio State. You like Ohio State bigger than I do.
Yes.
But we both like them to cover.
Yes.
I want to talk about the bowl season.
Okay. Yes, now that's officially over, technically. These two semis are still near six bowls, but the regular bowl season is over.
We'll talk about the Mayo Bowl.
Okay.
You know, I'm out on the Mayo Bowl. I'm out. The broadcast was painful. It was painful. It was overdone. And I thought it's been charming in the past. Oh, we're going to dip a scone in mayo. Oh, But every 5 fucking seconds,
they're eating something in mayo.
And we're acknowledging, we're saying, oh, what happens in the mayo? And I really found it almost, and people who I follow were kind of in the same way. Like, man, this is a lot. Now, I think it's cool when you can have fun with a game. I don't want to be the old man here as I'm getting ready to turn 40. Okay? I want to not be the old man. I found it distracting. On the flip side, what Pop-Tarts has done is you kind of gracefully weave in this stuff into the game day experience. You have your sideline reporter dressed as a Pop-Tart. Fine. You know, and at the end of the game, you do this really goofy celebration. If you were just going to do the mayo bath, great. But I was bombarded with fucking mayo.
That's
and
fair.
It became a little much. And I look, brands do you.
I will say it was an attempt.
Rev it back a little bit.
It was an attempt. They'll probably have to pull it back. I do like that the mascot's name is Tubby. I think that's hilarious.
He's a great mascot. Elite mascot.
So I think, you know, maybe they did too much a little bit, and, you know, next year they can reevaluate and go back. But I do think the Pop-Tart Bowl has it perfectly. I hope they don't try to do any more or less. They did try to do more this year than they did last year, but again, there's a line. There's a line with college football fans where they don't find it fun anymore.
It's tough when you get a kind of a crappy game too. I'll say this. You have the 24-10 Minnesota game.
Yeah.
And PJ Fleck, never has a man been more perfectly appropriate for faux enthusiasm in a mayo bath.
Okay? Yes.
He was the right man for a job, and he was a good sport.
Loved it.
Which is fun. I just found it to be a lot. Not a mayo person, though. Not a mayo.
You don't like mayo? Do you like mayo in general?
I can do, like, I can't do straight mayo. If you want to mix mayo up, spicy mayo.
No, so you can't do, like, mayo on a sandwich?
No. No, I'm out.
I'm not going to lie to you. I love mayo.
Well, and I'm trying to not let this take be my take about mayo, because I think you could have been doing anything.
I think that's why you don't like the mayo bowl.
I knew this was fucking coming. I wish I had a stronger
Adam
defense.
Adam Kramer doesn't like mayo, and that's why he doesn't like the mayo bowl and fun, because he doesn't like mayo.
I am fun. This is a bowl game, and it was a shitty bowl game, so have fun. But, my God.
It's just because you like Pop-Tarts better. So basically, it's like whoever has the better branding. Pop-Tarts. So you like the big boy mowers better than any other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
no.
Sponsored by John Deere, big boy mowers, you're happy.
My other bowl takeaway, the CEOs of these companies, like, hello, I'm Bill McCormick from Bad Boy Mowers. And we here at Bad Boy Mowers are telling you, we love America. We love football, and we love you. Thanks for watching our game. Enjoy. Like, that's the script.
I will say, the ones that I didn't know what they are, I Googled. So, I mean, shout out to these sponsors,
Brands.
Because they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. It's worth it. It's worth every penny. Even if you get random teams in your bowl, it is worth every penny. Also, shout out the Snoop Dogg Bowl.
Snoop Dogg Bowl, great.
In Arizona.
Before we move into true random shit,
yes,
I just stumbled upon these, and it's everyone's favorite game. Well, it's mine. Guess that point spread. We have championship. Have you looked at these? The national championships hypothetical point spreads?
No.
Okay. Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Guess that point spread.
10.
8.5.
I was going to say 7.5, but 10 just sounded better.
Ohio State versus Penn State is 9.5, which I'll just tell that to you because we have a point spread for the current game.
Okay.
It's not all that different. How about Penn State versus Texas?
Penn State versus Texas. Texas would be favored by 6.5. 4.5. 3.
Texas would be favored by Notre Dame by 2.5.
Okay.
So it's pretty interesting, pretty striking, not surprising. But if you want a competitive line, Texas is your team. If not, you're looking at potentially, I don't know, but depending on how Ohio State looks, a double-digit spread in the championship game. And one last thing, ESPN has to be shitting their pants in excitement for the brands right now, right?
I was like, just talking about this in the college football meeting today. No matter what happens, how cool. I mean, also, something for us that is pretty cool is that we have not had any of these teams in a national championship before that we've been going to together.
Yes.
And that's nice to have a change from the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Michigans. It is a nice change up.
You'll have a coach who's never won a national championship win a national championship.
I know.
That's so cool. You know, it's.
But the brands are branding. If you are looking at major college football brands, you're like, this is fantastic.
It is.
The numbers, and like, people are going to be hating it.
Yeah, I saw Kirk Herbstreit. Did you see his interview or parts of it, the On Three today?
No.
When he was accused of his SEC bias, talking about how ESPN loves the teams that are in. And he was also said, it was a very interesting interview. Look, I have no beef with Kirk Herbstreit. I like Kirk, by the way. I think he calls it amazing. I think he does a really good job. I think he eats a ton of shit. I don't envy the position. The guy is on TV like many hours a week. So he's going to say stuff that alienates people, right? Like just by sheer magnitude of words. And he said that he has quit Twitter and that his son runs his account now. And he doesn't look it was very... I felt bad. The guy sounded actually very very down on everything because it's just been...
college football Twitter always has to find somebody to be mad at. Well, it's like these narratives and these things are all started... I mean, there's your favorite podcast hosts, not us though.
Yeah.
Your favorite podcast hosts from other networks that are affiliated with legacy media are also being biased to other brands and other teams. There's literally a new age media platform that is like in bed with so many different programs. Come on, guys.
I think we're at a very interesting crossroad for media as I watched Mark Zuckerberg talk about getting rid of censorship. In a very, very interesting way. I mean,
his vibes were very different than I feel like Zuckerberg's given in a while.
It was odd. It was an odd. I want what he's having.
His bank account? Sure.
Yeah, that too. It's a very interesting time. But for people that eat shit all the time, and Herbstreit's been eating shit for many, many years. Florida State last year.
Yeah.
He was
This is also hard to do. Like, I know you guys, we make it look so easy, you guys, but this is hard to do. It's hard to be right about everything. That's the whole point. No one's right about everything. Yeah, you want to, you know, follow people that are right most of the time. Great. But again, there's times where and college football is changing so much. Like, it gets harder and harder to evaluate this year. We don't have an outlier of this is the superior team. We thought it possibly could be Oregon. Look where we're sitting. Like, expanded playoff, all these things. Everybody take a beat.
My last football point.
Yes.
And then we'll talk random shit. This is from Burke Magnus on Twitter. Okay? This is his tweet.
Yes.
At Burke Magnus. X, whatever that one is. Here is my annual post to There Are Too Many Bowl Games crowd. The 33 non-CFP bowls on ESPN nets the year average. On ESPN nets this. Fuck.
Okay. You got this.
I think he worded it wrong. Not me. The 33 non-CFP bowls on ESPN nets the year average. Yeah, it's him. 2.7 million viewers plus 14% year over year. The largest audience since 2019-2020. 14 of the 33 bowls hit at least a 5-year high, and 5 hit a 10-year high. College football playoff didn't kill college football. It didn't kill the bowl season. We said the bowl season
stop whining, stop complaining.
Was other than fucking Mayo, like overload.
Mayo mania.
It was fantastic. So we leave you with that. All right, random shit.
Yep.
What do you got?
I don't have anything.
I've got one thing. So it's right up your alley, too. So last night, I had my first, I'm coaching Jack, my middle son, travel baseball team. So we had our first indoor practice. I'm a former catcher. I love catching. I caught kids for like over an hour. my legs are fucking killing me.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds terrible.
People have asked me, did you use a bucket? No. No.
Buckets
are for chumps. You remember those knee savers? Chumps. No, if I'm going to catch, I'm going to catch. Didn't get hurt.
And you also like hurt your knee just like a couple of weeks ago carrying your kid. Knee's better.
Yeah, that's true. Had some shoulder issues. I threw about 100 pitches of BP yesterday. No issues. So I'm, you know, it was a long day. But I'm feeling pretty good. Team looks good, by the way. Full report's coming as we get into this. But team is looking solid. And I'm enjoying it. It's something to do. The weather here is just dreadful. It is peak.
I'm not going to brag to you that it's really nice here.
Please don't. It's horrible. I don't know. Do we know when Atlanta? I'm going to check that out. What Atlanta?
I don't know what the Atlanta temperatures are. I have not looked.
It's probably that can be decent, can be shit.
Yeah. Like, where it's like the in between, where it's like not so cold, but not warm enough to be, you're just in limbo.
High of 47 next Friday. So,
ooh.
I mean, that's a heat wave, given what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's cold for me. Next week's a big week. We've got national championship coverage. We've got Adam Kramer's birthday coverage. Man. We've got it all for you here on the No Puns Allowed podcast.
40 fucking years old. God.
You're a man. You're 40.
Oh my God, I'm as old as the rant.
You should, we should have you drink every time I say that next episode, because I will say it a lot. So
maybe next week is the multi-year or multi-beer week of pots. I mean, recording on my birthday,
dedicated to the grind,
dedicated to the grind, something like that. All right. So you have nothing?
No.
You don't bring
shit.
Anything to the random shit table?
No, taking it day by day. It has got a lot going on, and Jesus. the season's taking a toll on me. I did have a nice little getaway with my fiance overnight to Half Moon Bay. It was very beautiful. But before he goes back to teaching, and I am off for the national championship in Atlanta, so a little bit of just us time after a busy holiday season. But yeah, just still lots to do over the next couple of weeks. So looking forward to it.
I am looking forward to, this is not random shit, but it is odd. We have the Thursday night, Friday night games.
I'm so annoyed that they're on that.
I am too. This is a scheduling quirk that I think college football's got to figure out. And,
yeah.
But on the other hand, like, what the fuck else am I going to be doing? Like, except Thursday night game.
I have book club, but I already told my book club that we have to watch the game and I'm working. Well, so there's that.
That's
which
amazing.
Is the most page thing of all time, where I'm like, I'm trying to be in book club, but like still have college football to worry about.
Is this new book club or is
I just started. This is my first one. So I can't miss the first one.
Wow. Book club. But
I'm trying to do other things. I'm trying to have other hobbies besides college football and podcasting and working.
Dude, I hear you there. All right. Well, with that, I don't know where to possibly transition from book club. We will skip book club to watch football like the adults we are. For Paige, I'm Adam. We will talk to you guys next week.